Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to our regular session of the Oro Valley Town Council. For those that are on the phone, I'd like to remind you that if you would please put your phones on mute. And if an individual is phoning and watching the online video of the meeting, there will be at least a 30-second delay for the online streaming video, so it would be best to do one or the other, meaning to phone in or to watch. Is that
correct?
Okay. Admittedly, this is a bit unusual, but these are unusual times. And we'll call this meeting officially to order and ask that Mr. Standish do roll call.
Mayor Winfield?
Here.
Vice Mayor Barrett? Councilmember Jones Ivy? Councilmember Nicholson? Councilmember Pena?
Here.
Councilmember Rodman?
Here.
Councilmember Solomon?
Here. Is there a problem with the call-in?
You are no longer muted.
Maybe they were
can
muted.
Can you ask again?
I'll
go. It was muted.
So we're going to do a phone check, but of course, when you're not speaking, if you could have your phone on mute. When you are speaking, you need to take yourself off mute.
Mr. Mayor, just somebody is saying to me that online, where you click on the council, you know, to be able to get in, that it says it's starting in 58 minutes. So we might want to double check and make sure that, because this person is using our website to get in.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear me. I was trying to watch online, and I haven't been able to hear well over the telephone. So I don't know how I'm going to follow along live if the telephone isn't working.
I can hear you.
Can other people hear?
We can hear you very well.
I can hear you, yes.
That was Joyce.
Okay, but I can't hear the meeting until just recently.
So can you hear me, Melanie, or Vice Mayor?
I can now. Yes, thanks.
Yes, I believe the meeting was muted for those first few seconds, so I think we have that problem solved, and we verify we should be live streaming right now as well.
Okay.
Okay.
So if I can just
okay, thank you.
Should we do recall or a roll call over?
Recall, roll call.
roll call.
All right. Mayor Winfield?
Here.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy?
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson? Councilmember Pena?
Here.
Councilmember Rodman?
Here.
Councilmember Solomon?
Here.
Thank you. Let's please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
States
and
of
to
America.
The Republic for which it stands,
Republic.
One
I can't
nation
hear that.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So as a reminder, if you're on the phone listening, if you would please put your phone on mute. To the council members and to the two individuals that I know of, one that will be participating in the call to the audience, the other participating in the regular agenda item number one, if you'd stand by and also have your phones on mute. Okay, Mr. Standish, upcoming meeting announcements.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding the Oro Valley Board and Commission meetings, they have all been canceled through April. And then for Town Council, the next Town Council regular meeting will be held on April 15th at 5 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. And again, please note that the in-person attendance by members of the public will be prohibited, but the public can watch the public meeting online or join the meeting via teleconference in order to either listen or participate via electronic means. And also, please see the bottom of the agenda for specific instructions to watch and or participate in the meetings by electronic means. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's been recommended to me that we have the town manager provide a report in the belief that there may be items in the town manager's report that will answer questions that the council may have or may preempt some council reports. So with that, if we could ask Ms. Jacobs to provide her report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. As you can see from our empty room, this is quite a unique experience for all of us. I do want to let you know that we have a number of staff who have dialed in, and so if necessary, of course, we can call on them if there happen to be any questions. Before I go down into our COVID-19 town update, I do want to formally welcome Dave Gephardt, our new chief financial officer, virtually. Dave has dialed in. He's listening in, and he started earlier this week. And last week, Judy Boros, as our human resources director, she also started. So I know you had an opportunity to meet them both at your retreat recently. And so if you walk through town hall, be sure and swing by and welcome them. Also, very briefly, today is Census Day. And I'm happy to report that as of this Monday, the town has had a 47.7% self-response rate. So we do encourage each of our residents to complete the census online. And if our residents do not have access online, a paper census form will be sent to them in the mail. As you know, an accurate census count really benefits our community because it provides the foundation for funding distribution and also for funds for local social services, healthcare, transportation, workforce, and a variety of community programs. So we encourage our residents to participate. And then, again, one small thing that I wanted to mention, this is our first virtual meeting, and we are in the process, our IT director is in the process of securing the tool many of you may be familiar with called Zoom. Zoom will be testing it this week for May so that we can plan for the continuation of town business and the engagement of residents where we can. And where we can hold off on public meetings, we will. But where we do need to have some continued town business, it will provide us with a better tool to allow for a centralized muting instead of the accidental people unmuting and then we can't hear. And so more about that will come as we get better and better at how to use that. So just to start on our update on the COVID-19, as you can imagine, a lot of staff time has been dedicated over the past really 2 to 3 weeks on this subject. I do want to just start by saying that over the past almost 3 years since I've been here, we have as an organization elevated the issue of emergency preparedness, and I think it's really paid off. We've had trainings, we've done regional planning, we've conducted tabletop exercises for our entire senior management team, and including the Golden Ranch Fire Department, one of our critical first responders, and we've also finalized our continuity of operations plans. They're now also activated. And while none of us could have predicted this particular situation, and we certainly have encountered things we would have never thought we would have encountered, I do want to tell you how proud I am of the Oro Valley team for all that they have done previously for the planning and what they've done to implement those plans now. So what I'd like to do now is ask Chief Riley to come up to the microphone, and she's going to give an emergency from the police department perspective. I think that's really important that our community hears how our police department is working in the community in this regard. And then she'll turn it back over to me, and I'll continue down a few other important things that I'd like the community to be aware of.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, but to remind the two of you to speak into the microphone because there's people who probably are not going to hear otherwise. Thank you.
Is that better, you think? Okay. So So good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and the town of Oro Valley. I wanted to brief you and the community about what your police department is doing throughout the coronavirus pandemic. Due to the horrific attacks on this country on September 11, 2001, police procedures changed forever. Since this time, National Incident Management Systems, or NIMS, has become second nature to the law enforcement profession and communities across the country, including Oro Valley. The town of Oro Valley has an exclusive emergency manager to train and guide the community during times like this. Under Mary Jacobs' leadership, your emergency manager, Shar Ackerman, has helped train and prepare your first responders, executive leadership, and senior management teams. Another direct result of the attacks of September 11th was the implementation of the Pima County Wireless Integrated Networking System, also known as PCWIN. OVPD was one of the founding members of this infrastructure initiative that allows all first responders within the region the ability to communicate with each other during critical times such as these. To inform you of what your emergency manager and I are doing on a daily basis, we participate in briefings by the Pima County Emergency Operations Center. Once completed with this, I brief the town manager and the mayor on updates from the operations center. I also complete updates to all of you on an average of 2 to 3 times a week. Although different, it is important to continue to engage our community. I have directed our public information officer, Sergeant Graham, to be as creative as possible in attempts to engage our community. Along with this, I'm completing weekly videos with Mayor Winfield and Chief Randy Carr with the Goldo Ranch Fire District. The purpose of these videos is to inform our community that we are here in these times of need. An informed community is an engaged community. As your police chief, I'm here to reassure you that we have trained and prepared for these type of all-hazard events. OVPD, along with all other town departments, established a continuity of operations a few months ago. This allows directors to look at all areas of their workforce and daily operations to ensure that services do not stop. Your police department's continuity of operations ensures that we continue to provide the excellent services this community is used to and deserves. I wish I could tell you that crime stops during these times, but it doesn't. During times like these, first responders' health is paramount. Your police officers, your telecommunicators, your crime scene technicians. To mitigate exposure, we've implemented some subtle tactics to encourage phone reports versus in-person calls for services when possible. We also have reallocated staff to areas of large public presence, such as grocery stores and parks, which I refer to as our community watch. One of my goals is to provide comfort to this community during this executive order and ease any fears. Another imperative aspect of crisis like these is to have our regional partnership. For years, Oro Valley Police has prided itself on a well-established regional partnership that has now benefited and helped prepare all of us for this hopefully one-time event. These important relationships allow us to work as one team to provide the best recommendations and protocols for Pima County. I would like to extend my sincere thanks to all of the Pima County law enforcement leaders, Goldo Ranch Fire District, and their staff. Your professionalism is unparalleled and so important during these unprecedented times. I'd like to recognize several groups as I conclude my report for you. First, to the Oro Valley community. Your generosity and support to your police department has been extraordinary. Your selfless acts of kindness have been so appreciated and keep your officers and telecommunicators and all of our staff motivated to continue to serve this great community. And finally, I must take a moment and recognize the men and women of the Oro Valley Police Department. As I spoke to you during my promotion process, I wish you could see what I see every day. And now you have. First responders across this country, including OVPD, do not hide from the hazards of a pandemic. Instead, they ask if they can do anything more to help. I have heard officers offers of working long hours, switching shifts to help out a fellow officer in need because of child care, providing financial assistance when needed to one another, and countless other selfless acts. I have received numerous emails and social media posts thanking the members of this agency and their professionalism and willingness to face the unknown. And they do this without wavering. I could not be more proud. I will take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Chief. Questions from council?
Not really a question, it's a comment, Mr. Mayor. In watching, you know, how the states have gone to stay home or shelter in place or however they're defining it, I hear more and more conversation about community policing because no one is trying to actually put anybody in jail because they left their home and maybe it was for not a specific reason. And I just had to, in a time when there wasn't a lot of smiles, I had to smile and say, boy, are we ahead of the curve on that. We know how to do that with our residents and how to help them understand what it is that's expected of them without doing it in a way that would somehow make them afraid or get them to do it the way we need them to do it. And mm-hmm. So, again, proud of where you are and what you can do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other council members? Solomon?
Along the lines of comments of cooperation, which is great, as the people understand, as our new police chief had pointed out, is that we've had a long history of regional cooperation, of even exchanging officers in different roles, so that people know each other on a face-to-face basis. One thing that the chief did not mention is that every day she speaks to the Oro Valley Hospital at least once to constantly make sure that they don't have any needs that the police department can assist with. And that really, it is amazing the amount of real-time modifications the police department has made, bringing in the school resource officers, which obviously are not needed on campus. They're out back on patrol. They're really making their presence known so that people realize that, yes, the police are still here. They're still active. They're still functioning. So we appreciate that. And once again, just wanted to let the community be aware of what is going on. And I will mention one last thing is that, sadly, you may notice the black band on the badges. You may have seen in the news just a few days ago a Phoenix police commander. That's somebody that's right below police chief who is a few months away from retirement, was shot and killed in the line of duty responding to a domestic violence call. So that individual is known by a lot of our OVPD staff members and officers, and our hearts all go out to that. And it just once again brings home that you never know with this job. You think that, like in this situation, you're a commander about to retire. You go to help your officers out on a routine call, and that ended up being his last call. So just so folks are aware of that while police officers are out there, they're still in a very dangerous situation. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Councilmember P.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank you, Chief Riley, and the Oro Valley Police Department. From what I've observed, you coming into this role, it's been a real task for you, I'm sure. And I just want to say that from what I've observed, I think you have done a tremendous job of leadership with your team. And I think we, as a council and also as a community, have benefited from that. So thank you very much. The question I have, and you mentioned it earlier, mm-hmm. was about the well-being of the police officers, as well as other staff members, because of what they're going through, and they are on the front lines, and they really don't have a choice to kind of do the physical distancing that we're being asked to do. So my question is there something the town can do if we need to with resources for our employees as this continues, because we don't actually know the timeline? So is there something that we can do as a town providing resources to help?
So Councilmember Pena, thank you for that question. We've reviewed all of our supplies, and as things have come up or where we've needed to work with other members and departments with the town, within the town, we've been able to work together and get the supplies we need. And I know that if there are any items that we need or anything that we're falling short on, I will absolutely let you know. But right now, we're holding steady. And so I think our preparedness from the past has made us ready for today and what we're dealing with daily.
Very good. And so that includes outreach programs if they're needed for our officers or any other staff members that may be struggling with hardships?
Yes. So to your question, Councilmember, we have the a lot of our different programs already in place, our peer support. I do do nightly emails and telling them the different resources, reminding them of the different resources available. And then the leadership, which I have to go back to your comment on our command staff. I certainly value all of them, and they've done such a remarkable job during these very difficult times. And really, we think everything through together as a team, and I'm very, very lucky. So we had it where we're able to kind of expand that out as well and reach out to all the members in every aspect. That includes our telecommunicators, you know, records, all of it, because everybody is affected by this. We have had some staff whose spouses have lost positions and things like that. So we're working hand in hand on daily issues that might come up.
Okay, very good. Thank mm-hmm. you.
I'd like to just check in with our two council you members bet. That are on the phone. It's sometimes can be difficult to check in here, but Vice Mayor Barrett, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. First, I just wanted to comment about the town manager's report about this crisis, and I just want to say that all of the town leadership, from the mayor to the council to every member of our town staff, has really had our citizens' best interests in mind. Throughout this whole thing, I've just seen tremendous things from the staff, and on a personal level, I've really spent a lot of time and effort with my thoughts towards those in our community who are at risk, those of our community who are suffering financial challenges and disappointments, and even down to those in our community, such as our seniors in high school, who are suffering some tremendous personal losses and disappointments at this time. And my thoughts have really been with you. And in regards to the police, first of all, Chief Riley, you've done a tremendous job with your team. And I know that you give your team a lot of credit. And I want to say that it's been a tremendous thing for me to witness you coming into this role as the chief of our police and stepping into it so well and providing all of us so much confidence and in the capabilities that we have leading our first responders in this town. And I just think that the citizens of Oro Valley are in tremendous hands in terms of our first responders. And moving forward, we want to do everything that we can to support whatever is needed for the citizens in our town and the people who take care of them in terms of our first responders and others. So thank you for the work that you've been doing. Thank you for keeping the council appraised of the work you've been doing and letting us ask the many questions that we have. And we appreciate you watching out for unique situations that are developing, and you've proven that you're more than capable to rise to the occasion. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor. I appreciate that.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy, would you like to comment, or
yes,
do you have a question?
You.
Yep.
I do. I would like to comment. I also want to join my voices with my fellow council members in thanking Kara for the tremendous job that she is doing with our police officers and our just police department, period, particularly during this crisis. You all have really stepped up. I've been following the comments on Nextdoor about your responses and just the continued support of our officers to the community, and it's been awesome. And so kudos to all of you for that. I just want to say, sometimes when we're first responders, we can get so caught up in that job and that duty that we forget to take care of ourselves. And I really would like to see our officers remember that they need to take care of themselves so that they can take care of their families and those fellow officers that work along with them. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Council Member. I appreciate that.
Chief, we appreciate your report. Thank you for your steady leadership. We appreciate so much, of course, the men and women of the Oro Valley Police Department. And to our community, we appreciate your support to those men and women. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And Mayor and Council, I know this is not going to come as a surprise to you, but it really has just been a joy working with Kara during this difficult time. And I echo all of the comments that have been made this evening. So in addition to what Chief Riley mentioned, and she's obviously been on a lot of different calls, I have also spent the bulk of my days on a variety of different calls and virtual meetings on this subject. I speak with the regional city and county managers daily. The mayor and I participate in a daily call with the regional mayors and chair, as well as the managers of the organizations, and I meet virtually every afternoon with the town's leadership team. So again, you know, keeping everyone posted is very important. Operationally, I just wanted to mention, and again, this is you all know this information. This is really a daylighting of this for our community. We've changed some of our practices in order to keep our community and our employees safe. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just want to hit a few things. Obviously, like all organizations, we are following the directive of Governor Ducey on his Stay Home, Stay Safe executive order. And only essential employees are physically at work today, and that will be the case during the duration. And it's a skeleton crew at that, for sure. We have been practicing and transitioning staff who can effectively do their work at home to be home over the past 2 weeks. So it's given us time to work out the bugs, and that has been a huge benefit on our part. And a special shout out to the IT department, who quickly completed the implementation of Microsoft Teams, which has been a tremendous collaboration tool where we can do video conferencing with one another and share documents, and it was just in time. So we also have stopped our in-home visits, such as in water, and even when we have to do things for, like, an inspection, the resident is specifically requested not to be present for the protection of our employees. Our inspections team has also begun to roll out Skype inspections for those that qualify, and so we're just beginning that process, and there will be more on it, but we know that we're following suit with other communities in the region, Pima County and Marana, and I believe Tucson does it as well. So that's been a big benefit. The town lobbies are closed except for the courts, who are mandated to stay open, and they've instituted some new procedures. People can still go to the police lobby if necessary, but first they have to speak via intercom with someone to determine if they can conduct their business via online or a phone call. Our parks and recreation facilities, the buildings themselves, are closed, and our parks do remain open for recreation, but many of our amenities are closed, and that includes playground, fenced dog parks, ramadas, basketball and volleyball courts, tennis and pickleball courts. And we do understand that this is a huge inconvenience to our residents, especially at a time when they're at home and the kids are home for the rest of the year. But I know that you agree that it's our obligation to do what we can to mitigate risk for everyone. Golf does remain open due to its specific mention by the governor in his executive order that outlined essential services. But Troon has implemented significant changes to ensure compliance with the CDC regulations on social distancing and cleanliness. And I'll add that the push course was closed at the end of the day yesterday, about a month earlier than usual, because when tennis closed, they share that space, and it was just too hard to get all of the details worked out, and for the safety of the staff, it's all been consolidated down to the 36-hole course. I want to touch a little bit on the financial impact. We all know that what's going on in the community is tragic for our small businesses, tragic for some of our big businesses. People are losing their jobs. businesses are closing, and our hearts go out to each and every one of the individuals and families that have been affected. Those closures have a predictive financial impact on the town as well, and it really is our obligation to ensure that we can still stay within our means. And so I wanted to mention a few things that we're doing. So on March 19th, I instituted a hiring freeze again for across all departments with the exception of critical public safety personnel. We have been able to reallocate a few staff in some critical needs and vacant positions, and we are continuing to look at ways to support our essential services through this effort. Our year-end reductions and projects, we've instituted year-end reductions and project holds in order to free up those resources, and also all non-essential travel and training has been suspended for the rest of the year. Together, those measures we estimate to save about $800,000 to $850,000 in expenditures through the end of the fiscal year. And that will greatly assist us in our anticipated tax revenue loss. And we're still finalizing the numbers, but our preliminary projections indicate that those measures will likely get us to end the year on budget, because we had such a good first eight months of sales tax collections. So I really want to thank the departments for what they've done and what they're giving up in terms of vacant staff positions and projects and that sort of thing. They have been tremendous, and of course that we still have the next year to go. But that's a big weight lifted off of the town that we were doing so well throughout the course of the year. The finance department does continue to very closely monitor our departmental spending. We're looking closely at every expenditure to make sure that we are, prudently using our resources for the rest of the year. We are finalizing the manner in which the budget is going to be developed and presented, which is about a little more than a month away. And that's going to be tough given the lack of information and uncertainty in revenue projections. We don't get information. We will have on your April 15th agenda the February financials. February, right? And here we are in April. It's about a two-month lag. We're really not going to get an indication as to the degree to which this is impacting the town. We can make some predictions, and that's what we're doing, until probably May or June. And by that time, we will have passed the budget. So we're really in these talks on how we can develop a budget that is that gives us some flexibility, and that's what will be presented to council here in about 5 weeks. One thing that I do want to note is that we forget, I don't forget, but our sales taxes are the general fund's largest revenue source, comprising 49% of all of our budgeted general fund expenditures this year. So, and that doesn't even include the over $2 million, the half cent that goes into the community center fund. That's about a third of the community center fund budget. So it's not an insignificant portion of our budget. We also expect some categories of our state shared revenues will be reduced. We won't have those estimates from the state until mid to end of May. So as you can see, we're flying a little blind here. But we are going to make some very good educated decisions. And again, the budget that the town council passes as the tentative budget is the maximum cap. There's always opportunities for the council to, lower, make some adjustments. And that's why we want to build that flexibility in. We do expect the income tax portion of the state shared revenues will remain stable, because those are from 2 years prior. But the sales tax portions and the vehicle license tax, which is based on car sales and that sort of thing, we do expect there to be a projected hit for next fiscal year as well. So that's on top of the 49% of the general fund budget is another, I can't remember, maybe another 27% that is state shared revenues. The town, I do want to assure our residents, the town is in a very strong and enviable financial position. And that's been because of conservative budgeting, strong reserves, and we have, so the council has the minimum of the 25%. We have well over 25%. We are going to need to recalculate our year-end projections that we reviewed with you at your retreat in February. Also included a projected surplus at the end of the year that clearly is not going to materialize. So we'll be doing those calculations, and we'll have some that information for you at the April 15th meeting, and we'll be able to delve a little bit more into our financial projections at that time. But it absolutely will serve us well in ensuring that the town can maintain its level of services next fiscal year as we face absolutely certain revenue reductions. So we're putting a plan together, and I'm confident that we'll be able to have a budget that gives us the flexibility we need. The last thing I wanted to mention before I turn it over to the council for any additional questions is I want to explain the town's requirements regarding the Federal Families First Coronavirus Response Act passed by Congress last month. And the reason why I do is because this is a law that impacts businesses, any employer that has 500 or more employees, or any government entity. So we get thrown in with any government entity, and we must follow the provisions of this. And what this law provides is both a safety net and protections to employees who are affected by the COVID-19 crisis, which includes mandatory additional leave. So what it does in general, it provides 80 hours of pandemic leave for all full-time employees and 40 hours, or the equivalent of the average number of hours that a part-time employee works in a week, times 2 weeks for those part-time employees. That leave then can be used for any situation involving the COVID-19 emergency, from being sick, caring for someone who's sick, being in quarantine, or in compliance with a shelter-in-place order, which we are under at this point. So if we have any employees, and we do now, as of today, have employees who will be tapping into this leave because their positions are not essential and they don't lend themselves to telework. And so they will be tapping in. We're doing our best to work with these employees. But they can use that, which is great. So that will be, let's talk about our full-time employees. That would be 80 hours or 2 weeks worth of pay. In addition, the law expands the Family Medical Leave Act, the FMLA, that everybody is very familiar with, to include anyone employed by the town for at least 30 days. That's a very low bar. The FMLA has been previously applied to people, I believe, 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, perhaps even a year. And it extends protection and the return to a same or equivalent position upon work up to a 12-week absence. So it provides an additional requirement that the town must pay at least 2/3 of an employee's salary for up to 12 weeks if the employee is caring for an at-risk family member who's quarantined, caring for a minor child if the school has been closed due to a public health emergency, that's us, or is recovering from the virus themselves. So that employee may use their, so they would tap into the 80 hours first, and then for the rest of the 10 weeks, they would be eligible. The town would be required to provide them with 2/3 of their salary. That does not come out of their leave balances, and they could then make up the difference with their leave to get fully paid, assuming they had those leave balances. And so those are some additional provisions that we have to put in place. That law went into effect today, and the leave is in the banks of our employees' leave banks, and it extends through December 31st of this year. So what that means basically, again, is that if there's any employee who cannot telework for their job, whose job functions are not considered essential, they can tap into that leave. And it also means that the town is not designating any employee who may end up exhausting their leave or simply not be scheduled as furloughed because they are being protected under the FMLA. So in other words, what I What I wanted to say is those employees, let's say they exhaust their leave, even our part-time employees who maybe are not getting hours scheduled because of the work, you know, lifeguards, transit drivers, that sort of thing, are part-timers, they will have the eligibility to tap into the basic leave, the 80 or the part-time version, and then depending on, there's a whole table as to whether or not they qualify and that sort of thing, they would simply be in a non-pay status until the end of that 12-week period. So we don't technically have any furloughed employees at this time because of this law. We have not laid off any employees. We have tackled the year-end... We've tackled the projected year-end deficit through the things that I just mentioned earlier, and that is through the freezes and that sort of thing.
For those that are on listening by phone, if you could please
all right,
maybe we
okay.
If you could please put your phone on mute, phones on mute, please.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Councilmember Solomon.
Let me just wrap up. I'm literally my last comment. and again, I have the policy and I can share it. It's very, very complicated. It took us, they gave us 2 weeks to implement it. 2 weeks. So there's been a lot of conversation with other jurisdictions and that sort of thing. But you know, I'm happy. My goal, I do not want to lay off any employees during this crisis. We have other ways of reducing our expenditures through hiring freezes and that sort of thing. There's going to be enough layoffs in our community. And right now, we've tackled the year end, and there will be some turnover, and we will figure this out. You know, I'm loath to do that unless that is our absolute last, you know, resort. So, you know, I want to state that for council, that will, if I bring that to you, it will be a last resort measure. That will be the very bottom thing that we do. I am communicating regularly with employees. I think it's important that they hear from their town manager. And so I've shared information with them and really tried to make sure that they have all of the information that they need. And I want to thank them for their dedication during this ordeal. It has been quite the ordeal, and everyone has jumped in, no matter the department, and everyone has been ready to do whatever is necessary. And so on, you know, I just want to publicly thank them for all of the work that they have done. And I appreciate the opportunity to brief you and the community on this at this time, and I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs, for that report. Just as a reminder for those that are listening to this town council session by phone, if you would please keep your phone on mute. And Vice Mayor Barrett and Councilmember Jones-Ivy, I will call on you, but I'm going to take a question from each of the council members here at the dais, and then I'll turn to you. So, Councilors.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mayor, it's important to know that we are.
It's important to know.
Mr. Mayor, the call keeps dropping us. We've been dropped multiple times.
Mr. Standish will go check on that. We're sorry about that.
We'll
thank you for alerting us.
Yeah, thank you. We'll take a brief recess while we sort that out. Okay, we're going to resume our meeting. We've had some technical challenges. They may surface throughout this meeting. To those individuals that are on the phone, if you would text Mr. Standish and alert him if the call has been dropped, that would be helpful. So we'll go to questions.
Okay.
And how about if we do this? Councilmember Jones-Ivy, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you go ahead?
Where are we on the agenda, Mr. Mayor?
We are on the town manager's report. So she just provided an overview of how the town has responded to COVID-19.
Okay. The only comment, and I don't have a question, but the comment is that towards the end, she was talking about having to bring an issue back to council, and I totally missed that because I was dropped.
That may have been Councilmember Jones Ivy talking about the financials and how we would come back to council in April with our year-end financial projection and then come back to council with the budget in May.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Barrett, did you have a question?
Yes. I just wanted to, I guess, sort of ask the staff to follow up on something. I don't know if there's a concern about getting supplies to the vulnerable communities in our population. The risks of having to go to grocery stores and line up in crowded grocery stores in early morning hours to get toilet paper and things like that. And I've been notified that there's an effort going on in the county to try and address some of those issues, and that's not necessarily extending through to the Oro Valley area. So I'm just wondering if we can, in the near future, follow up with our partners at the county and otherwise to see what we can do to help address those vulnerable populations, if there's anything more we can do to help protect them in being able to get essential supplies.
So, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, I appreciate that question, and I will definitely follow up with the county. One of the things that we're doing daily is reaching out to our citizens in Sun City, which would be where we would have our potential vulnerable adults. And we do that daily with Robin Coulter up there to make sure that everything is going well. In addition, I've also reached out to our volunteers because we have so many for the police department, and you know, they kind of get the word of what's going on as well. So we are in regular contact with them, but I will definitely have some contact that we can make with the county and verify that we're catching everybody.
Okay, thank you very much, Chief Riley. And then with regards to the budget, I know that heading into budget season, we're in an unprecedented time where we don't really know what the future of our budget numbers will look like. I do want to say that I'm grateful that this past budget that we've passed has been relatively conservative and that our collections have been good so far this year. And so it's put us into a strong financial position moving into this. But I think that everyone needs to recognize that there will be some challenges and difficulties moving forward that won't be some of the things that we would like. Those won't be unique to us. Every city, town, business, and in the entire country and potentially the entire world will be facing some of those same challenges. And so I appreciate that we're well positioned moving into this, and I have confidence that we can do what it takes to provide a high level of service to our residents on the things that are high priority to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Solomon.
First, want to once again thank town staff, particularly on the financial aspects of this, of immediately being proactive. I want to reassure the community, those that are listening, about the excellent financial position that the town of Oro Valley is in. And the last recession that started in 2008 severely hit the town in the 2010-11 timeframe. At that point, we were looking at a $3 million deficit. And through various methods, the town council managed to balance the budget and institute conservative budgets from that point forward. And we have actually increased our contingency fund or our savings account or emergency fund to over, it was projected to be $19 million. It may be a little under that, in the $18 million range. So we're going into this with an $18 million savings account, basically, or emergency fund. To put that in perspective, the Oro Valley sales tax generates, on average, $1.6 million per month, and the state shared revenue sales tax component contributes about $400,000 per month. So that's a total intake of about $2 million per month in sales taxes. Now, we know sales taxes are not going to drop to zero. Any of you who have been to Walmart or Home Depot or other stores that collect sales tax, you've seen that in some cases there's quite a brisk crowd of people there. Now, groceries are not taxed, so those never did enter into the equation, and the large run-up in groceries now is not going to increase our revenue. But even in a worst-case scenario, or near worst-case of a 50% drop in sales taxes, that's $1 million a month, and we have $18 million in the bank. All projections are that this will not continue indefinitely, and it probably in 60 to 90 days, things will have peaked, and hopefully things will be getting back to normal based on what we've seen throughout the world and even within parts of this country that have potentially experienced a peak in the virus. So the town is well set. We have the reserves. We have a fantastic credit rating. We're not in a position where we have to immediately cut and reduce staff or reduce services. Hopefully, we'll be able to weather this if it's short-lived, as the projections are. And your government will continue to function. There will not be any need to increase taxes. And your services should continue uninterrupted at the same level that you're used to. I do have one comment, though, and I don't know if this, if the town manager, if there's a way to reach out to the state. I would assume, because I'm a small business owner, I pay TPT tax in various manners. I'm the old-fashioned paper form, mail in a check. But I also work with point-of-sales terminals, and I know the large businesses aren't filling out paper forms like I do. So I'm assuming that the state revenue department or department of the budget should have some real, near real-time information, I would think, on what the sales tax is revenues are generating. I know that we're on about a 2 to 3 month lag on when they account for it and pay it to us, but can we inquire to them under these extreme circumstances? Is there a way they can start telling us what happened in the first few weeks of March or through March so that we have an idea of how to budget? And if not there, I mean, maybe some of our major businesses, certainly Home Depot knows right up to the minute what its sales has been and what its sales tax calculation is. Same with Walmart. So maybe if the state won't get us the information, maybe we can get it from some of our large retailers. And that would be the financial folks would have to let us know. I don't know if the large retailers are generating half our sales tax, 75%, or maybe 20%, because we do know all the small local businesses are basically not collecting very much right now at all. So those are some potential sources that we might have, because, yes, I agree with you. We need to know March is one of our worst-case scenarios. If we can see what the fall-off was this March compared to a year ago, it should give us some pretty good idea of what to expect in April, and then as we start to recover, hopefully in May.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I don't know the answer to that question. I know that if they do have indications, they don't share it with the cities and towns. They're very consistent with distributing information the same across the board. However, I will certainly ask and find out if they can give us any leading information that could assist us in the budget process.
And maybe the League of Cities can try to put some pressure and say, because every municipality is in the same exact situation.
I will definitely follow up, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again for the work you folks are doing.
Thank you.
Council Member Rodman.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Yes, number one, first, thank you for all you and staff have done. It's, as we know, we've appreciated being part of the conference calls at least twice a week with you and Kara to get us the opportunity for input, but as importantly, to understand what it is you're doing and how you're making those decisions. And certainly thank you to the mayor for the extra work you've had to put in as the mayor trying to, especially early on when the pressure was on. So I think we all need to understand this is a time we do come together, and period, across our town. And if there's a good thing that might happen out of this, perhaps that would be part of it across the country, not just in our town. Secondly, you and I had a conversation at one point where I said all these things that are in this $2 trillion bill that provides for some kind of a reimbursement to businesses, to employees, or ways that employees can get to money, the SBA loans, all the different things. Did any of that have anything to do with helping towns get through this, especially with the what I would guess will be a significant reduction in sales tax and state revenues, and certainly bed tax? As we know, there are 20 rooms occupied at the Hilton out of 400. And so that's a significant hit to them. They've laid off 300 people. So that's a significant hit to those people. There is a way for them to apply for some of this money, how quickly it happens, how quickly it gets out. We can get into that a little bit later. But I think you said to me, no, that the municipalities were not included in any reimbursements or any way that rewards us for keeping employees on, et cetera, on the other. Is that accurate?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, I'd have to go back and double check, but the National League of Cities has been lobbying Congress to include resources for cities and towns to at least reimburse us for this COVID leave that our employees are entitled to. It was a mandate with no money behind it. That first time that's ever happened, right? And so I will have to go back and double check, but the initial proposals, it was in, it was out, it was in, it was out, and I've been a little focused on our local stuff, and so I will go back and double check. I do know that one of the things that we are doing is we are keeping track of all of the expenditures, including staff time, any of the direct expenses that we've had associated with this as being tied to a particular project code, so we will have that at the end. And it's possible that we may get some reimbursement from the federal government, possibly the state government down the line, but it's probably 18 months to 2 years away. And how much, who knows, because every community in the country is going to be applying for it, as opposed to regionalized emergencies where you might just get the folks from Florida or, you know, whoever is being affected. So I don't know how much that's going to be, but I don't want to bank on it at this point.
And basically, you know, you outlined the process that you're using to try to come up with at least our best estimate for the budget moving forward. We're really kind of on our own as a town.
We are.
Maybe down the line we will get some help, but we need to plan as though we're not.
That would be my recommendation,
and
yes,
the only other thing, I really think you guys have done an amazing job. The only other thing is I think we need to do as much as we possibly can to say stay home. I mean, I don't know if this is the time to say that, but clearly the last couple of briefings from the administration and the experts, if it didn't get everybody's attention, they weren't paying attention in terms of the projections of the possible number of cases. We are at the beginning section of that, and I think sometimes in Oro Valley we feel somehow because of how we do things and what we plan that we won't be affected to the extent or whatever. And I don't know that that's true. I hope that's true. We will get through it. There's no question we'll get to the other side. And financially, as Councilmember Solomon said, we're in good shape. But we've got to stay home. The one thing that Governor Ducey did, and I don't disagree with him directly, is it's a pretty loose stay-at-home executive order. And pretty loose as to what's considered essential and reasons. And of course, we really aren't going to be able to, even if we wanted to, enforce it. So we just got to keep saying that because it is the only thing we individually can do to get to stop this spread or slow it down is to do that. And sometimes I know even for myself, I go wash my hands, stay 6 feet away. We're talking about one of the worst pandemics ever. And that's what we're supposed to do? Well, yes, that is what we're supposed to do. And it isn't some miracle new thing. Maybe we'll get that. Maybe we'll get the treatment, or maybe we already have it, and maybe we'll get a vaccine. But it is that simple, and it is that important. And as leaders of the town and staff in the website, et cetera. We've just got to get people to understand, knowing that even if I sent a note some time ago to a bunch of golf guys that I organize twice a week at our club, and I said, well, I know I'm sending this email to a bunch of macho men, and I know I believe I'd get through it if I got this virus, but I don't know that people I'd spread it to might or might not. And I think that's so important that we just don't let up on that for a second, especially with our young people who, I remember when I was that age, I sort of remember, that I was immortal and not really understanding. And that's that whole piece of what we're doing in the parks. You know, it sounds, what do you mean I can't get on the playground? What is that? You know, or I can't go play basketball. I'm going to do it and dare them to do something about it. We've just got to focus on that in every way, form. And I know, Chief Riley, your folks are doing that where you can. But I know I'm going on long, but it's so important. This possible fatality rate, et cetera, is something we can do something about. And if all the other things you're doing are down-the-line things that we need to be worried about. But this is the most important. Oro Valley needs to outperform everybody in staying home. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Rodman. It can't be said enough to stay home. And we'll,
right.
Yeah. All right. Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to welcome Dave and Judy. So welcome to the two of you if you're still on there. Year over year, our chief financial officer did a great job in positioning us to be where we are at now. So I want to thank them and thank the staff. And so I have no doubt that Dave is going to keep us in that same position going forward as well. When I think about the reserves, one of the things that we talk about is business resumption. And we've prided ourselves on talking about having, you know, $19 million in reserves. And while our policy is 25% of expenditures, we really need to maintain the policy. So technically, we have what's over and above that. I look at that, and I think we've talked about it before, that's our residents' money that pays that tax, that sales tax, right? And so, and among other things. And so those reserves technically belong to our community. And I think in a situation, the reason we have contingency reserves is for a dire emergency. We've not tapped into it. If we have something where we have to, as we navigate and continue this, if we need to use those reserves to continue to be able to provide the quality of services that we've been doing, and what, as our Chief Riley had said earlier, our community has come to expect, we've done all the things to position ourselves to be able to continue that. So we really need to think about that as we move through this. It's nice to say we keep having it, but if we need to use it in this type of emergency, and that's technically what contingencies are, then I think as a council and as staff that we need to be able to be flexible to do that. And I say that continues with not only looking at our employees, first and foremost, they take care of our citizens. So we need to look at making sure they're okay. And then secondly, if we need to do what we can to help our residents, and we have to tap into that, it technically is their money and they should be able to have what that can provide to them. So that's just my comments on the reserves. The other thing that I'd like to mention is who decides the essential employees? So have they already been decided, Mary, or are you going along and deciding as things happen, or has that already been done?
It's already been done, okay. Councilmember Pena. And what we did is we provided a criteria, and you know, it really is the department director's responsibility to apply that criteria. And I want to point out, we've taken a position that it's not essential employees, it's essential functions. All of our employees are essential.
Correct.
As individuals and as contributors to this community. But there are certain essential functions that really also support those essential functions that the governor identified, including things like construction. You know, the governor identified that construction is an essential function. And so if construction is an essential function, then so is permitting and inspections and planning to some extent, you know. So all of those are supportive and essential. And so, you know, we've really taken a look at all of those, you know, everything from maintaining our streetlights and making sure that our buildings are still in good shape. You know, those are all because they're support of payroll, right? I mean, payroll is an essential function because it supports all of these other essential functions. And so our departments have, you know, it doesn't mean that we won't be making some tweaks to this as we go along, depending on how long this is extended. But, you know, for their first crack, I think they've done a tremendous job.
Okay. And thank you for correcting me that on essential versus essential.
Right. Essential versus
and
essential.
Technically,
yeah.
I see everybody as being all essential, but right. We'll do the differentiation based on COVID-19. And then my last question is about our insurance provider. So since we are self-insured, we still have an insurance provider. And
correct.
So my question is, typically with a large group of individuals that we have insured through the municipality, they would typically provide comprehensive services. And so my question is, are we asking them or are they offering to provide the essential information for our employees? Because a lot of times they will provide those services online if our employees are signed up. And so I'd like to know, are they doing that? And is there anything as a town that we could ask or provide for our employees that would help that situation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena. We have United Health as our insurance provider. Actually, they're technically, we are self-insured, but right. They are the firm that we have selected to do our claims processing. They have an extremely robust program regarding, you know, we have a program for counseling and employee assistance. We also have a telemedicine. We already had telemedicine options on there, and it's a zero copay for those on our PPO plan. Now, those on high deductible still have to, you know, pay, and it comes out of their high deductible account. But they have been tremendous in providing information to human resources that gets distributed to our employees. So, and we've been reminding our employees about the different types of resources that are available and the various communications we've been making for them.
Okay.
So, but it's, and I appreciate you, you know, our employees are very important, and I don't care whether you work in local government or not, this is an incredibly stressful time and a time of high anxiety for everyone. And it's the only topic people are talking about, right? It's just the way that it is. And so we want to do everything that we can to support our employees.
Well, resources are important. And a lot of times, especially right now, there's just a bombardment of resources for people to go and look at. And it actually can be overwhelming.
Yes.
So if we can help in that way and we're utilizing and already paying for those services and they can step up a little bit and provide that to our employees in one fell swoop, then I think that's a great service that we can provide. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. My question was answered about the pandemic leave. I was curious if that was a mandate without funding or if there was funding attached to that. I thought I knew the answer, but I appreciate you clarifying that. In regards to Councilmember Rodman's question for the CARES Act, there is a component of that, as I understand it, and I had Ms. Jacobs sent to you a summary from Senator Sinema of the act. It includes what's referred to as the state stabilization funds for municipalities, and it's allocated by population. The state of Arizona, so the funding will go to states and large cities. Arizona is earmarked for $2.8 billion. We're not, I think the part of the bill that was that was omitted is that it was hoped by the National League of Cities and Towns is that that funding would come directly to cities and towns of our population size. That was not included in the bill. So those funds, in our case, because we're part of Pima County and the population size of Pima County, they will apply for that percentage of the $2.8 billion. That will go directly to the bank. So it won't be a pass-through through the state. But we will have to go to Pima County. So, and what the timing of all of that is anybody's guess. But I think I'm hopeful that there will be some funding. But I'm in agreement that we should go forward as if there is no funding. But I believe that there will be.
You don't believe in the checks in the mail?
I do not. I do not. We really appreciate your report. We appreciate all the work that staff has done during this challenging time. And with that, we will the remainder of the agenda will go as posted. And we'll have a call to the audience. I have one individual that I understand that is on the phone, Mr. Faresh. If just one moment, I'd like to read this information in regards to call to the audience. Pursuant to Arizona open meeting law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to. Okay, I'm going to stop right here for a moment because I forgot council reports. Any council reports?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why you heard
maybe
me.
Maybe I was filling
that's why you heard me whispering.
Okay. So we're going to pull back here for a moment. My mistake. We switched the town manager report with the council report. So council reports or council member Pena.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, as a council report, I want to thank all of our first responders, our business stakeholders, and the town staff. Along with my colleagues during this time of dealing with the COVID-19 virus pandemic, not only for your help here in our community, but also beyond, because you are doing a lot of regional and state work, which you've been on phone calls. So as a council liaison to the Oro Valley Water Utility, I thought it was important to give an update for our water utility because a lot of people become very concerned with what's going on with the water as we move through this particular issue. So our water utility, they are following regulatory compliance and physical distancing, if you will, expectations, but they're also still staying very connected. The operations is using essential staff and, or, here I go again. They're using essential staff for the essential functions to get things done. And so what that means is an example that I've been made aware of is work orders that they get, they're getting them electronically, and then they report to where they're directed. So they're not actually coming in contact with one another. They're going straight to their job sites and doing what they need to do to do work that delivers our water. The remainder of staff is working from home. They're working remote. And one of the things that was shared with me is that the expectation is that, in case anybody's wondering about what our staff does remotely, they are expected to be on video and be in work attire as if they were coming to work and be prepared and ready to go every day so that they are in the moment, they're getting ready for work, and they're doing it. So I congratulate them for that. I was also made aware, one of the things I wanted to know about is our water supplies, if they're safe. Our water supplies are safe. There's adequate material to treat and ensure that the town has safe water during this pandemic. The other item is that the 2019 Oro Valley Water Utility Report was completed, and it has been posted online. And just a quick summary, that provides all of the utilities activities for 2019. So while people are home, they may feel inclined to read that report. It is online. One of the other things that I think is important is looking at volunteer work. One of the nonprofits that I serve on is the AmFi Foundation Board. And in a Zoom meeting that we had just recently, one of the things that came about is because our children and students, they're home during this time, there may be need because some of the students may not be able to get online. They may not have Wi-Fi, or there may be one laptop or item, source available for a number of kids in the home. And so it presents a problem for students being able to learn. And so one of the things as a elected official and also, to share it with others, I think as we can advocate even online for those nonprofits in those areas in our community, there is great need. And if we can advocate for help for them, then we need to continue to do so. And I know our staff does a great job of it, but just as a reminder that they are out there. And Arizona Gives Day will be April 7th, and it's a great time. People wonder how they can give back during this time. That's going to be a great way to do it. So thank you. That ends my council report.
Thank you. Any other council reports?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Council Member Jones-Ivy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much. My council report was going to be an update on my AMFI board meeting, but of course we're in a different world right now. I want to thank Councilman Pena for what she said and being a member of the foundation. I just want to reiterate that the schools are really trying to provide electronic devices for those children that are home that don't have it. I would encourage everyone to donate to make sure that every child has what they need, laptop, computer, or whatever, so that they don't fall behind in their studies. The other thing that I'd like to just add with that is, I know this is a very difficult time for us. I want to encourage everybody to follow the CDC recommendations. Our PPE as a community, and PPE is your personal protective equipment, is keeping ourselves inside, staying inside, only going out for dire emergencies. There are, if you check next door of Arizona Together, there's a lot of services that are being offered to our elderly community and to just communities at large that are in need. I'm going to encourage people to go to those websites if they need any assistance. But please, please, we can definitely blunt the curve on this if we stay home, only go out if it's a medical emergency, a food emergency, a financial emergency. So thank you. That's my report.
Thank you. Any other reports?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor Barrett.
I'd just like to give a brief report on the planning and zoning most recent meeting. Their latest meetings have been canceled, but just recently they heard the Push Ridge Christian Architecture, which is on our consent agenda tonight. And they also heard the issue that we sent to them that was brought by Councilmember Rodman about considering whether or not custom homes should follow architectural guidelines of some type. And there was just discussion on that, but no recommendation. And I think there was a plan to have some neighborhood meetings on that, and that may need to be amended at the current moment. So I just wanted to give an update for where that is in terms of the planning and zoning. I appreciate what's been mentioned by Council Members Pena and Jones-Ivy. And as a mother of school-aged children, I can say that our teachers and the educators in our community have gone above and beyond for our children in looking to provide educational resources to them. It's so much that it's difficult for parents to keep up with all the new things that there are to log into and figure out and learn how to use. And so it's really been heartwarming to see our educators really reach out to students and particularly reach out to those who may be in need. So those are some other unsung heroes in our community. And I also wanted to mention, as Councilmember Pena mentioned, the Arizona Gives Day, that our community partner, the Children's Museum of Tucson and Children's Museum Oro Valley, is also participating in that Community Gives Day. And they've asked for members of the Children's Museum and others to share their stories in order to help bring awareness to the service that they provide to our community. And since that's a partner organization of ours, Children's Museum Oro Valley, I thought it bore mentioning. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Well, I'm certainly glad I didn't omit council reports with all those good reports. Typically, it's pretty quiet. Call to the audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. Mr. Farash, if you would take your phone off mute. And you may begin. Mr. Farash? Okay. Well, our gentleman who is going to speak, not hearing him, we'll go to the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to pull item B from the consent agenda.
Okay. What was the item?
B is the boy.
Item B. Okay, item B has been pulled from the consent agenda. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, move to accept the consent agenda as presented for items A, B, D, and E.
Second.
Well, I think you, Councilmember Jones-Ivy asked B to be removed.
B, I'm sorry, A, C, D, and E. My mistake.
Thank you. Bill.
Okay, now it's the second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Apologize for those on the phone. So item B.
Do we have Judge Dunscombe on the line?
Councilmember Jones-Ivy, I'm going to have Mr. Standish read the item.
Okay, thank you.
Appointment of Judge Pro Tempore for the Oro Valley Magistrate Court.
And just could we have a motion before we have discussion?
What motion would you like?
Well, it's if you would like to present a motion.
And Lou, I'll make a positive motion. If does that work?
It works for me.
I move to appoint Honorable Michael Pollard and Matthew Randall as judges pro tem for the Oro Valley Magistrate Court.
Second.
Here we have a second. Open for discussion. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you very much, and thanks, Bill. Yes, the reason why I asked for this to be removed is because we do have two candidates. One of them who seems to be qualified to be offered the position. The second one I have concerns about. The person's only been 5 years practicing a lawyer, and I don't see where he has any judge experience at all, and it concerns me about whether he truly has the ability to do the job. And in saying that, I would like to get some understanding from Judge Liston as to how many pro tem judges do we have at this time.
Is this where I speak?
Yes. Judge Dunscombe.
Yes, this is George Dunscombe, Oro Valley Magistrate. At the present time, we have four people on our list, one of whom is very elderly, one of whom is older than myself, two of whom are younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we end up in a position where we can't get any of the four of them, and right now I wouldn't call one of the judges to come in at all, and probably not two under the present circumstances. So we have four people on the list at this time.
How many do we normally have?
We usually like to keep at least five or six.
Okay, and let me ask you, how much time would they be anticipated to fill a position, to fill your position if you're out?
We usually, well, okay, I'm entitled to take 4 weeks of leave every year, but the way I have structured it in the past is that I usually take 1 week in December and we just kind of continue everything and we don't hold court. So the only reason we would call somebody in during that week would be for a protective order. One of the other things that I do is that if there's a contested protective order and I heard the initial hearing, I will not hear the contest, or if there's a challenge to a search warrant and I was the judge who issued the warrant, I will not hear that case either, because I think they're entitled to have, you know, fresh ears listen to everything. I mean, I already made the decision once, no point doing it again. So given that, we're going to have probably 15 days during the year that I'm going to be gone on vacation. There are other times when I'm not available. So we're not calling these folks in all that often. We're doing it more and more frequently with the protective order hearings. But other than that, I wouldn't say more than 2 days a month.
Okay. So are the other pro tem, are they judges?
Okay. No. Let me see. Judge Barry is a practicing attorney, but was never a judge before. Judge Penn was actually a judge pro tem in the Pima County Justice Court, and she served as a judge in Texas. But she and her husband have moved here, so she now serves as a judge pro tem in my court and other courts. Judge Felix was a sitting judge in the Pima County Justice Court for 20 years, but she's retired and she's on our list. And Judge Bowman sat as a civil traffic hearing officer and a judge in the Tucson City Court as a judge pro tem in their court before he got on our list.
Okay, so what makes the candidate that's an attorney qualified to be able to fill in this position?
Well, I had only been an attorney for about 5 years when I was first appointed to sit as a judge pro tem for the Tucson City Court. And what makes one qualified would be that you're in court all the time, that you understand the rules of criminal procedure, that you understand the case law, and that you understand how things work in a court. To some extent, being a judge isn't magic. It's just that you've done it enough, and you're confident about what you're doing, and you're competent. And
okay,
I think
I was not able to get that kind of information on his application.
I know the applications are kind of difficult. Mr. Randall's appeared on our court many times. He practices regularly in the Tucson City Court, in Superior Court. He does a lot of work down there. He's a fairly experienced attorney.
Okay. Has he had any criminal practice at all? Experience?
Oh, yes. He has, in fact, that's the only thing he does in our court is criminal cases, and he does them in the Justice Court. He does them in City Court. Mr. Randall was one of the attorneys who was instrumental in helping Judge Pollard set up the Regional Municipal Veterans Treatment Court in the Tucson City Court. Because of his veteran status, he was able to come in and not only help him get it set up, but for a long time he mentored some of the other attorneys who were working there.
Okay, you say because of his veteran status. Just are you saying because he was a veteran?
Yes, he is a veteran.
Right, but what is it about his veteran experience that qualifies him to be judge pro tem?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, that wasn't the meaning I was trying to convey. What he was instrumental in setting up the Veterans Treatment Court because he was a veteran. That wouldn't necessarily help him, but I believe he was a sergeant in the Army, and that's you learn how to exercise authority in those positions.
Okay, because in looking at his CV, it looks like he did have some experience teaching and supervising law students and veteran courts, but
yes.
He left to start law practice. You know, and
yes.
And looking at his law practice, I've not seen anything that, in my mind, that would qualify him to be able to have the position of pro tem, to be honest with you.
Mr. Mayor, if she's done.
Councilmember Solomon.
Judge, a few questions. How long have you been a judge now?
Up here?
In total.
Oh, in total? Oh, good Lord. Let's see. I was appointed to the bench in the Tucson City Court in 1983 or 84.
Okay, so quite a bit. And how long in Oro Valley?
Be 21 years on April 9th.
Right, so you have quite a bit of an experience, and I'm assuming you know these two individuals, you've reviewed their applications, and do you...
Yes, I know them both.
Okay.
I know them both personally.
And do you recommend both of those to the town council as being hired for Judge Pro Tem?
I do.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go with our judge's recommendation, who's been in this field since 82 and has served the town extremely well for 21 years, and I believe he knows how to select proper Judge Pro Tems as opposed to myself reading through someone's resume.
Councilman Rodman.
Well, I kind of second what Councilmember Solomon said. In this kind of a situation, being a recovering lawyer myself, I wouldn't begin to decide whether or not our judge, his judgment was correct in the people that he knows. I do understand asking the questions. I think it makes sense to ask the questions to be sure that that they have been that it has been looked at. But I would, in fact, the reason I made the motion, I would, in fact, believe that his judgment should be followed in this case. Thank you.
Any additional
comments? Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll go as soon as you're done. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Go ahead, Melanie. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to add my voice that... just so that the public is aware, there were some things in the application that were confusing. The text in the application documents was not set to wrap, so a lot of the text wasn't available to the council in terms of what the applicants had put forward. And I think that in some cases has caused some of this confusion, that it wasn't a simple question of just looking at a CV or a resume. There's been... You know, there's been some challenges in being able to take a look at that background information. And I had some questions about the background information that was provided, and I was able to get those answered by our judge, and he's answered them tonight. So thank you.
Councilmember Pena.
Mr. Mayor.
Just one.
Go ahead.
Okay. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
This is in no way questioning the judge. Judge Dunscombe's judgment on this, because what I read, and I have not had an opportunity to speak with the judge, so I am reacting to what I was presented. But Judge Dunscombe, I do not want you to feel that this is questioning your judgment. Okay, the information just is not thorough and as complete as I would like to have it.
Okay, I understand that, and I'm not taking offense at all. Mr. Rodman is correct. You have every right to ask those questions, and you should.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to make a statement that I agree with the recommendations by Honorable Dunscombe. A couple things I looked at in here, besides putting weight on what he has to say in his recommendations, but the other gentleman, Honorable Pollard, has been in the court system in Pima County for 25 years, and he recommended this gentleman to be a pro tem. And one of the things that's mentioned is that he has familiarity with the Regional Municipalities Veterans Treatment Court, which is in Tucson. But Honorable Dunscom, isn't it true that we also work with that in our own courts here?
Yes.
Okay.
We refer defendants to that court on a fairly regular basis.
Yes. So that, I think, we do a lot of that, and I was somewhat familiar, but thank you for clarifying that. So there were some things in here that I feel there's familiarity, and also when I look at some of his background, I think there's integrity there, and I think that speaks volumes. And so for those different reasons, I am comfortable with the recommendation. Thank you.
Judge, I have a question for you. This is Mayor Winfield. You mentioned that we currently have four individuals that are part of the pro tem. This will add two additionals. Is that correct, to bring us to six?
That's correct, sir.
But of the six, it sounds like at least one of those you would not necessarily call upon.
At least not during this crisis.
Okay. That's a good clarification. And so it's just out of curiosity, how is out of this group of six, is it on a rotation? Is it by your invitation? Is it who's simply available?
All of the above? It depends. Some of these folks that we have on the pro tem list are better at handling long court sessions with multiple cases, like a morning court session with many, many pretrials and many initial appearances. They're better at it because they're used to it and they've done it a lot. Some of the, for instance, well, I don't want to name names, but sometimes it depends on the nature of the case, because given the parties involved, I can say, yes, I think this judge would be better to hear this particular case. And sometimes it's, frankly, it's on whomever we can get to come through the door.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate your response. Any additional questions? I thank the council for their questions and comments. Councilmember Rogman, could you please just restate your motion?
Sure. And hang on a second. I move to appoint Honorable Michael Pollard and Matthew Randall as judges pro tempore and for the Oro Valley Magistrate Court.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposed. Okay. Thank you. I wish we could separate the two out, but since we can't in this instance, I'm going to vote no.
Thank you. We'll go to the regular agenda. Mr. Standish, item number one.
Discussion regarding actions the council may take to assist Oro Valley businesses affected by the COVID-19 virus.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, first of all, I do want to mention that this is an item that was requested by Councilmember Solomon and Councilmember Pena. And I did speak with them about providing a summary of what it is that the town is doing as a basis for this conversation. And then, of course, we have staff on the line who will be able to answer any questions and provide you with any additional information. So what I'm going to do is a broad-based summary of what the town is doing, and then we'll be happy to answer questions. I just want to note that from very early on in this process, our Community and Economic Development Director J.J. Johnston and our Economic Development Specialist Margie Adler have been really in the trenches, communicating directly with businesses, compiling resources, coordinating with partners, and identifying best practices that the town could incorporate in our response. And JJ is on the call in case there are questions later, but given our teleworking here, he agreed that this might be an easier way to provide the summary. So our greatest help at the moment is currently a page on the town's website that is specifically devoted to when I say myriad of resources, there is a myriad of resources available to businesses of all sizes. The one thing that has become abundantly clear over the past several weeks in this arena and also in other arenas is that a lot of people are doing the same thing. And so we're trying to figure out how we can not duplicate service and work smarter, not harder. So the town website directs businesses to the resources at all kinds of different organizations, the Arizona Commerce Authority, the Small Business Administration, the governor's business information, new laws, and so much more. Outreach has been very crucial, and Margie has particularly been on the front line of that, speaking with our businesses. And you know that late last week, we did provide the town council with an initial summary of information on some of the 75 businesses that as of Friday she had spoken to, some in partnership with the Oro Valley Chamber President Dave Perry, who's also on the line this evening. As you can imagine, even from Friday, that data is already old in some cases, and with the governor's new order, and the chamber is also updating information and collecting additional input from businesses on what they feel they could use to assist them during this crisis. Margie and JJ have also been participating in many different webinars to become well-briefed on the different resources, which has led to JJ designated Margie as the official ombudsman to local businesses this week. And what that means is she will be the town's point of contact, really primary point of contact, for any questions our businesses and business owners and operators have. She'll be that subject matter expert internally on knowing the different resources available, not knowing the details of those because that's too much, but knowing where to point people, both locally at banks as well as some of those state resources and organizations. I also had the opportunity to speak with Dave Perry for some time, particularly earlier today, and we agree that Dave said that he would be willing to do some additional services for the town under their current contract. So we're going to work on an amendment to that contract, and specifically we're talking largely about the chamber being the one to put together and then regularly update a web page that would have information about all of the different businesses in town that are affected with their hours of operation and phone numbers and links to menus and all of that in one place. So again, we don't duplicate things. We get that in one place, and then the town and our other organizations would be encouraged to share that. It can be shared on social media by individuals. Hey, if you're looking for a meal tonight or whatever that is, so it can be something that our residents can find very quickly. And then we want to continue with the great partnership that we have with the chamber, because it allows the chamber to bring their resources to the table along with ours while we're working together side by side and not stepping on each other's toes. Other things that we're doing for businesses include significant police support that the chief mentioned earlier. That support and presence at different stores during the crisis has provided a calm that has been very well received by our businesses, and our stores have expressed incredible gratitude, and it has made a big difference locally for our residents as well. Also, the town clerk has waived late fees for any business license renewals that missed the deadline, which was actually January the 31st. So most have been renewed. But when this came about, it's a $20 late fee. It's small, but it's something. And so that is already in place. And then we are finalizing a plan that I'd like to bring forward to the town council at your next meeting to include some waivers of repair and emergency service permits for our businesses. These are things that are not optional, right? If you need a new water heater or you need to replace a circuit in your building or something like that, that's not something that you can wait on. Those fees excuse me, those fees are typically in the $25 to $70 range. And again, it's not a lot, but it's something. It's something, one less thing for our businesses to have to worry about. I will say that if we do that, it would also extend to our homeowners, but I'm guessing there might be a few homeowners that might appreciate that waiver of that particular fee as well. And so we will continue working on that list, and pending any further direction from council, we hope to have that on your next agenda for your consideration so we can get that in place. That's an overall summary. We're very happy to be prioritizing assistance to our businesses in this very difficult time. They are the backbone of our community. We want them to succeed, and while we have some limitations on what it is that we can do, staff stands ready to support the council and to provide you with any additional input as you have questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. You know, I have, I believe, Mr. Perry on the phone, and he wanted to speak at this particular item. I think I'd like to invite him to speak at this time before we get into council discussion. Dave, are you on? Dave, if you could unmute.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I think I've unmuted. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you, and you have you have the floor.
I appreciate that very much, everybody. I don't have any prepared remarks right now. I did send to you all a lengthy letter talking about some of the things that we're doing and some of the things that are in the works. And I want to express my thanks and gratitude to all of you, to staff in particular, for the real sincere efforts that everyone's making to try to protect us as a community, and as well as to sort of get our business community through what is an extremely rough patch, something that none of us has ever seen nor experienced in our lifetimes. And, you know, one thing that was important to me was to try to get some immediate help to our displaced workers. I put a check in the mail yesterday for $10,050 to Walmart, and we're purchasing $75 gift cards for displaced workers that will be distributed through our employers. And we're also going to our members at large and to the community at large, asking for some help from those, for those people. You know, federal aid is on the way, and we're grateful for that, but we don't know when it's going to get here. And people have needs right now, and so we want to try to get help to them as early as next week with some of those cards. The other thing I might say just very broadly is that this is a remarkable event in so many ways, and one of them is that some businesses are actually thriving. I mean, not in any kind of an inappropriate way, but they're doing extremely well. Our household goods vendors, our groceries, they're hiring people, in fact. But the vast majority of our business community, especially in retail and in hospitality and in the restaurant business, this is a terrible blow to them and a terrible moment. And it's affecting hundreds and hundreds of people right now. And I hope you all are thinking about them. I hope that we're all trying to do what we can to support them in any way that we can. And I'm also wanting us all to think about, how do we come out of this? You know, this moment will pass, and we all have a responsibility to think about how we emerge on the other side. And believe me, my board, our staff, we're all working very hard to try to get people through the moment, as well as to anticipate how we can resume the great activity and the great economy that we had going. So, again, I appreciate everything you're doing, and I'll mute myself again, but if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. So I've got Council Member Solomon. I suspect all the council would like to speak, but we'll start with Councilman Solomon.
Thank you. I had requested this item. As I had mentioned earlier, I'm a longtime Oro Valley small business owner. I had seen firsthand the effects of the 2008 recession on local small businesses. It was very dramatic, but it was very different because it was a slow process over several years, whereas right now, as mentioned, this is something totally different. This is drastic. Businesses went from flourishing to the next day being shut down because of our current situation. And all the little things we can do are great, and they all will help getting information out. But I had started to think, these are desperate times. What can we do in a desperate time or a desperate situation that could actually have a impact, a positive impact, potentially as large as the negative impact that has occurred? And one of the thoughts was that Oro Valley charges a 2.5% sales tax. And talking to different people, he thought about, what if that sales tax went away for a period of time? What if when the governor lifts the emergency order and people are allowed to go out again, what if Oro Valley basically declared a sales tax holiday for 30 days? Now, that 2.5% savings would go directly to the residents who are purchasing products. But more importantly, it would drive people to Oro Valley businesses who will, as Mr. Perry had stated, Home Depot, Walmart, the grocery stores, they're doing a booming business. But the little restaurants that have closed, the little retail businesses that have closed, they're going to need their customers to come back and more customers to come so that they can get their cash flow back to make up for the lost revenues that they've had. And we don't want to see them going out of business. Now, how would we cover something like that? Well, once again, we do have the reserve fund. And as Councilmember Pena had mentioned, that reserve fund or saving account is really tax money that we've collected from our residents through our businesses. So it really is their money. There's several difficulties with this whole process, though. We have some information from the Arizona League of Cities where, as people may not know it, but our sales tax is actually sent to the Arizona Department of Revenue. They have a whole list of laws and regulations. In order for the town to try to say, on this day when the governor lifts the order, we want our tax rate to go to zero, they would need to enter that into their system, and our local businesses would need to also enter it into their systems, although on a local level, that's very easy. They would just put a rate of zero in the system. More importantly, after the end of the 30 days, the local businesses would have to change their software back, which once again is usually just a few clicks to represent the 2.5% sales tax. Now there's a potential pitfall. If a local business doesn't do that and doesn't collect the tax, they're still going to owe it to the state and face fines and penalties. And we certainly don't want to place burdens on them. So there's a lot of different issues with that. There's also the issue is what type of hit are we going to be taking through March and April, hopefully that'll be the end of it, and would we have the available funds? But the thought was that would be a major shot in the arm for our residents and for our businesses. But once again, it's not clear that it can be done. Currently, Department of Revenue requires, I believe, like a 90-day notice to change rates, and they would have to do it two times. They would have to change it to lower it to zero. Then they'd have to change it 30 days later to raise it back to the 2.5%. So it's something I think is worthwhile for us to study in some more detail. It's on the agenda for April 15th. It may be a way to go or it may not be a way to go. But it's something worth us looking at. And I would ask staff to look into it in a little more detail between now and April. And that is, once again, the thought was that that could be not only assisting our residents' businesses, I think we would attract a lot of people from the outside areas that don't normally come to Oro Valley who'll say, hey, we can save 2.5% on all our purchases. Let's go to Oro Valley. And frankly, I don't think the city of Tucson or Pima County are anywhere in a financial position to forego sales taxes for 30 days or whatever period. So that was a thought of that. And the staff's been very responsive in looking for any ways that they could help, and they've mentioned it. They've been in close contact with Dave Puria, the chamber, and the businesses are appreciative of it. And I really feel for, I mean, we all know personally small business owners, particularly restaurants that are truly mom-and-pop operations, and their life savings are in that business, and they have been shut down now. And we know they're hurting, and we know they're going to need to rely on business not slowly ramping up, but hopefully just starting almost immediately the day after the orders are lifted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Councilmember Rodman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things. In your letter, Dave, so it's not really a question of you, but I wanted to point it out since, although it's public record, you talked about one of the things all of the things you're trying to do in reaching out within the business community in Oro Valley and nearby, going out and really knocking on doors and trying to understand just where each business is and what's going on. You found changes that have been made to some of our bigger employers and things that you weren't aware of and perhaps only at the maybe the town did or did not know about. But the kinds of things that the town manager Jacobs talked about, what you can do, and trying to figure out how to improve the communication, both between going both ways with the town and the chamber, to be sure that what one knows, the other knows, and that's when things like this happen, where we need to be able to communicate quickly with the various businesses. That for sure the chamber needs to be aware of getting that information, what it knows, to the town, and vice versa. That's kind of simple sounding, but it may be some more things that add to that as we learn in this case what would have been nice if we had known something more about. And I think the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce has played and will play and does play a major role in representing businesses. And it's such it makes sense that they be one of those, maybe the major place to communicate with the town in those areas. We have people within the town that work with businesses and work with you, Dave, and Marty and the others. I know that. But I just wanted to highlight that one of the things that is in your letter. The second thing is a different question. I thought I heard earlier something on the order of using Skype for some kind of inspections. And I didn't know whether number one, where we were in that process, if we're actually doing it or about to do it or how we're doing it. And secondly, is it also going to apply to builders who are in the middle of their subdivisions, et cetera?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we have been testing the Skype inspections this week. And so we've got our inspectors having loaded onto their tablets. We've had to, I'm calling it sort of a soft opening so that they can test it out for some specific things before we really kind of ramp up and make sure that they're trained, make sure that they have identified which are the appropriate inspections that a Skype works for and which ones are they not quite workable on. But, many communities are finding that re-inspections, that's a great opportunity. You don't have to go back out if it's just a small follow-up. You know, for certain inspections, you really need to be on site because there's just too much. Our building official and under the leadership of the department director have made this a priority, and I think it's going to be very well received. Saba and the Metropolitan Pima Alliance were on a call with the director and I about a week ago, and they were very excited to hear that we're moving in that direction.
So it would apply to those, to the builders as well, assuming it's appropriate.
Correct. Right. That it would, yes.
All right, thank you.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to comment, Ms. Jacobs, on some of what you were sharing with us with regard to the chamber, and really probably more towards data. And so when I look at the town, I look at that we pass policies that affect businesses, but when it comes to resources, I don't know that that's our area of expertise, when it really should be maybe the chamber's expertise, because they deal with businesses when it comes to knowing resources. So I really appreciate your comments about not duplicating work, because that may not be where we need to best put our resources with town staff and putting monetary resources towards that. So I'm in favor of whatever we can do to enhance our relationship with the chamber, if that means getting more data to help the businesses in our community. And I don't know, since it's a call-in, I don't know if I can ask Dave a question.
You can.
Can, okay, good. Dave? Dave?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yes, I'm here.
It's Councilmember Pena. So I was just sharing about the need to have data, shared data. So do you want to comment on where maybe data resources are right now with the chamber, and if there is an opportunity there where the town could help, whether it's with our current contract or a new one?
Sure, Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman Pena, certainly there are gulfs of information that exist. Our chamber has 580 active members. Oro Valley has many more businesses than that. A lot of our members, frankly, are outside the town of Oro Valley, but they do business inside of Oro Valley. And a frustration that emerges for us is, how do we reach out and contact those non-members, frankly, with information that would be helpful to them? And we have vehicles to do that, but we don't have the proper email address. We don't know who the manager is. That manager has been changed. You know, I have a half-time employee whose job is to chase data, and he's always behind with our relatively small membership. And I know that Margie and JJ and other members of town staff do a great job trying to chase all that information, but it's constantly in need of attention. And if we can figure out ways that would be efficient, and I agree with Town Manager Jacobs about not duplicating work, but I think we could help each other to have better information and better data so that in times of crisis like this, as well as the rest of the time, we can more efficiently and effectively communicate information to the people doing business in Oro Valley. And our chamber would love to be a part of that and wants to help in any way that we can.
Yeah, it sounds to me this could have been maybe a best practice that we were doing prior to this pandemic. And now that we know that it's necessary to help all of our businesses, not just members of the chamber, but ways that we can figure out as a town how to do that and do that partnership. I look at it not only now during the pandemic, but what about post-pandemic? There is going to be a need for resources, and I'm just giving an example based on experience as a former banker managing commercial portfolios during the downturn. There were resources through SBA. We worked with those resources. That's not something the town is going to have maybe in craft so much. Maybe with Margie we might have a little bit of it. But where I think the expertise and we can help the chamber is, the chamber will not only have the resources, but maybe be able to answer specifics or you know, share areas where they can get help, other than the specific SBA organization, reaching out to attorneys, reaching out to tax, you know, accountants. It's those things that the town really is not, that's not their expertise. And I don't know, I don't think it should be. We have other things we have to do as a community, and I think a chamber, that's in your lane. So I would really be in favor of seeing us move forward to pursue those opportunities or look at that so that we can be much better now going forward, now that we've had this experience with this pandemic, and we'll all be better for it, and maybe our businesses will be better positioned, you know, in an emergency, but think about it even during good times, how much, you know, better it could be for them as well. So I would like to give whatever directive, if we need to, Mr. Mayor, to town manager to work with Mr. Perry to see how we can do that and accomplish looking at duplicate services and minimizing that and working together to find some additional ways for them to gain data, and whether that's through us providing resources or enhancing our existing contract, I think it'd be worthwhile, or at least reviewing. So
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Pena, I will definitely continue our conversations with Dave and finalize an amendment and get moving on this. So no formal action is required by the council.
Okay.
Any changes to the contract are within the realm of my authority.
One other thing I want to touch on, the chamber had to cancel their business, what was the word?
Summit.
The summit, thank you. And that was big for the small businesses here in Oral Valley. And so maybe, you know, we're looking at virtual summits with businesses. And I don't know if that's something Dave would think is appropriate or could be productive. But as they kind of move through this timeline, maybe, Dave, that might be something to take a look at if it would be productive. So that might be an opportunity, too, where we can help in that regard, doing virtual business summit. However that may look, networking amongst businesses right now where they don't have a lot of time to do it or the resources.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to touch on is Councilmember Solomon's recommendation about maybe a sales tax reprieve. There were entities within the community that reached out and different individuals that said, you know, maybe we ought to look at this. It's a way to help not only our businesses, but it also helps our residents, right? Because they're not paying that sales tax. And one of the things I think all of us are trying to accomplish comprehensively and quickly is how do we help these businesses? And so we're all there wanting to do it. And so there's spectrums. I look at, there's a spectrum of what we're doing now, waiving fees and doing certain things, partnering or whatever it is we need to do that might have an immediate impact. So I see that is on this spectrum over here of how we can react quickly. I look at that now that I've had the opportunity to review some of the things coming back from the Arizona Leagues and Cities and Towns and also from instructions from our legal advisor, and it's made me take a pause in a sense of it is definitely our residents. It technically is their money. It's in that reserve if that's what we had to use. But I feel like at this point, the spectrums with which we all want to try to help, that's on the spectrum over here of being a really potential complex solution, and it given what we don't know with our financials and we are in a situation where we're going to have to kind of a wait and see approach, I don't know that I necessarily want to go that route right now. And I think while it's not a bad idea, it may take a lot of time to try to figure this out. I don't know that the next council meeting is the meeting that it needs to be on to give that kind of concession at this point in time. That's my personal feeling. Well, I think it could be very positive to generate some business from external, because we do depend on a lot of external sales tax coming into our community as well as internally in our community. I just don't know that is the of the spectrum of trying to figure out how to help everybody, that it's really the heavy, right, of trying to get some impact. So I don't know. It's on a future agenda. I personally would like to see it postponed or delayed a little bit until we can get our hands or our arms wrapped around what this might look like for the town financially, because we may have other needs we don't know. So we have employees we need to look out for. We have citizens we need to look out for. And so I want to make sure that we're in a position to be able to do that with the monies that do belong to them as well. So thank you.
Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councilmember Pena. Certainly, since it was an item requested by you and Councilmember Solomon, if that's your pleasure to postpone it from April 15th, we can take that direction this evening and do so for later. You don't have to make that statement now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Can I just make one more comment on that? One of the main reasons I really feel we need to look at not having unintended consequences. It's like, you know, we really try. We want to do something really, really good, but then it ends up having a consequence that maybe we really, you know, needed to take a look at. So that that I want to refrain from having happen. But at the same time, I think it's important for people to understand that collectively we really all are trying to figure out how best to help our community with the challenges that it's facing right now. So, thank you.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, thank you. I just want to echo a lot of what Council Member Pena has said. I think that she's really hit the nail on the head on a number of those points, and also Council Member Robin and Solomon have made several good points. So I'm not sure there's a ton to add. I want to echo that we should continue to work towards gathering and providing good data and work with the Chamber of Commerce on that. I think that we all can see that that's an apparent need, especially in a time of crisis, to be able to have that good communication system open towards what those resources would be. I also think that the town can help in making sure that adequate and correct information is being distributed amongst our community to the best of our ability. And I think that that can go beyond just what's available to small businesses and also the things that are available to citizens. People have said that it's a recession when your neighbor loses their job, and it's a depression when you lose yours. And so in terms of what's available for residents and where they could file for unemployment benefits, checks that will be coming from the federal government, if there's any information that we can provide on our website or other things where we can just direct our residents to where they can get that kind of information, I think that will be helpful, because our small businesses are also made up of the employees that serve in them who are affected with their families. And then I agree with Councilmember Pena that I would like to put the issue of the sales tax on hold, just because I want to be careful about what we ask our staff to do or look into right now, given the amount that they're of time that they're having to put into these emergency functions, as well as the compilation of the budget in these unknown and uncertain circumstances. So I agree with that. And then I also think that while we kind of need to operate day to day in an emergency with the things that we know, we do want to keep the long view in mind, and we don't know, there's some optimism that this may be just a couple of months and then businesses will be back up and running. We don't know for sure if that's the case, and we don't know how long economic contraction will continue, or for that matter, these virus concerns will continue. So I think that we need to keep the long term of the town and their revenues and stabilities and our ability to provide service to our community always at the forefront of our mind, and I feel confident that both our council and our staff does that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Jones-Ivy, any comments, questions?
Yes. I really have a comment more than a question. Because we don't know how long we're going to be in this situation, I'm uncomfortable right at this moment committing to no sales tax for our businesses for the next 30 days, because we don't know what else is going to come up. We don't have a whole picture. Looking at the legal information that we received, I have no idea how we would even go about this without setting precedent that could come back to bite us. So I just want to say also, I'd like to have this issue brought back at a much later time than April 15th, because we could still be in this crisis and other priorities could possibly be identified. So that's where I'm at on it right now.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Jacobs, I appreciate your providing that overview of what we're doing. And tonight's a good example of that, of putting processes in place so that we keep the work of government moving forward, right? This meeting could have just as easily been canceled. It's not, because of the work of your staff, so we appreciate that. Also suspending water disconnects, that's
correct. Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I did not mention that. When you signed the extension of the proclamation, all of the provisions that were in it previously were extended as well. And so, so yes, we are extending water disconnects and late fees for our water utility, and that would be for both businesses and individuals.
And then included in the proclamation was suspending regulation of temporary signs. So that's something that's in place. I want to acknowledge Councilmember Solomon for bringing that to the council's attention and helping to make that happen. I think that as I listen to the council and to Ms. Jacobs and have listened to others, this is really an all hands on deck. And we have the federal government, state government, county, the town of Oro Valley, and I don't want to leave out our residents, and I don't want to go into the specifics, but the CARE Act is a huge win for business, and it's going to have, I believe, far-reaching implications in the positive. It's $2 trillion plus dollars. A large percentage of that is earmarked for small businesses. I think some of the keys there, and small businesses are already to a certain degree connected to their lending institutions. Accountants are going to be some of those frontliners to kind of help them through the process in terms of obtaining those funds. But I'm sure that there will be a role for us through JJ's department, and then also working with the chamber in helping kind of make that as easy as possible for our businesses. But I think that that has to be something that we really have to focus on to bring those funds to our community. I don't know, Chief, if we've the state had deployed a National Guard to help in some grocery stores for stocking. I don't know if we've seen National Guard in our community. I don't believe so, but.
No, Mr. Mayor, we have not seen them yet.
Okay, all right. And then with these, Chief, while you're there, I guess one thing that came to my mind is a concern that with the checks that are coming, the $1,200 per person, $500 per child, that there's this is ripe for fraud. And we want, unfortunately, and could you just speak to that? Is there anything that we're doing to kind of get ahead of that potentially?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, we actually had started to see some scams and fraud almost immediately, in particular where people were selling door-to-door COVID, the virus testing kits that were not real, and just different types of crimes like that we were seeing. So we immediately put out a bunch of social media. We share a lot of things regionally with each other. So if we happen to see something the sheriff's department puts out, we'll share it on our social media and our website as well, just to make sure that our community is involved and informed. In addition, with our Adopt a Business program, those are the type of opportunities that we have to reach out to all the businesses and to coordinate any messaging that we are starting to see. So it's been my direction with Sergeant Graham, our new public information officer, that we start pushing out those things as the checks are coming in, because we'll probably see some additional ones, which could be fraudulent checks and things like that.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
That. You know, lastly, I mean, there's, of course, a lot that government can do and is doing. And I think that we certainly should thank, Senator Sinema, Senator McSally, Congressman O'Halloran, and then at the state level, Vince Leach, Mark Finkham, Brett Roberts, Governor Ducey, who's been leading this effort, and of course, our County Board of Supervisors. And I want to acknowledge the recent death of Chairman Richard Elias, who was just on a call a week ago Friday morning, and then he passed away that evening. But all of these individuals are making a difference. But also our businesses, as I've been walking these commercial areas, the businesses have really taken this to heart. They put in place processes, procedures to ensure the safety of our community, and that's much appreciated. Some of them have closed of their own volition because of concern for the safety of our community, and I want to express appreciation to them. And I'm also in all of this, I would like to just speak for a moment to our residents, because as Councilmember Solomon, this turnaround just happened almost overnight. And I think what it's reminded me is the power that we have as consumers, that this turnaround has largely been because we have taken that message to stay home. And as a result of that, we haven't been shopping like we have, like we're more accustomed to. Now, some of the businesses have closed through emergency proclamations, executive orders, or their business operations have been changed. And I think what I would like to invite residents is to think about these various businesses that are within our community. And I think if each of us will kind of assess our financial relationship to them and maybe adjust how we do things so that we can support, continue to support them as we have in the past. And some things that we can do each individually is that we can, with our restaurants, we can order and take out. We can purchase gift cards. Some other things that we can do with some of our businesses that have closed temporarily is that instead of requesting a refund, we can accept a credit. Instead of suspending membership, or instead of, excuse me, suspend our membership instead of terminating it, so that those organizations like LA Fitness, Planet Fitness, know that they've got that base of membership that will come back as soon as their doors are opened. You know, reschedule an appointment instead of canceling. Communicate with businesses, you know, what it is that you need, what could help you to continue your relationship with them. There's purchasing online. Kohl's is closed. Home Goods and others, again, of their own volition. But if there's things that we can do to show them our support, I would encourage our community to do that. There's one other invitation that I would like to extend to our seasonal residents. I invite you to consider remaining in Oro Valley this year. Unfortunately, this could be a double hit to our businesses because our summer months, many of you leave for the summer. We understand why. But I'd like to extend an invitation for you to think about staying with us this year to help sustain our local businesses. We need you, and I hope you'll give that some serious consideration. With that, are there any other comments, suggestions, ideas? I just want to applaud what the town is doing, what our county is doing, state, the chief, and our federal government. I really believe we are coming together as a community, and that we'll get through this. So with that, we'll go to item two.
Discussion and possible action regarding temporary waiver and or modification of the town's temporary signed ordinances for businesses affected by the COVID-19 virus.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Solomon.
Yeah, I had put this on the agenda prior to your emergency order that had included this item. And in case people don't know, we have two different types of sign categories. Our permanent signs that are regulated that go on, for example, the walls of a business and kiosks. Then we have our temporary signs, which are like A-frames and banners. And businesses are heavily regulated on the number of these they can have, when they can have them, and their location. So this gives a lot more flexibility to our businesses if they want to put up an A-frame that says, hey, we're still open for takeout, or visit us online. All the safety precautions still have to be followed as far as site visibility. And this is really a question for the town attorney. Originally, when this first came up and the thought about it being included in a proclamation, it wasn't clear whether the governor's emergency order would allow that or not. As our town attorney, do you prefer that we actually vote on this as a council, or are we all right with the way it's been acted through proclamation?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I'm confident that the proclamation takes care of it. I never make guarantees, but I'm confident. I don't think there's anything that needs to be done here.
Okay.
This evening.
Thank you. So that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rodman.
No, I was just going to make the motion. So we don't need to make a motion. I won't want to.
Okay. We're good.
All right. The motion could be to adjourn.
But are there any future agenda items?
I just wanted to ask, how do we handle the future agenda item that I had I think I was the first one to request that it be delayed. So how does that work?
I was going to say, I believe reading town manager's mind, she didn't want to pressure you to have to make a decision now. So I think reading her mind like I sometimes can do, I think she wanted you to think about it. And if you and Councilmember Solomon decide to shoot her a note that you want to withdraw from the agenda, then I'm confident that that's what will take place. But I see the manager at the podium, so she can...
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Thanks.
My personal feeling right now is that, and I think Vice Mayor Barrett made a comment about it, that we have a lot of work on staff's plate, and among other things, and I don't know that it's something we would move on right away anyways because of uncertainty, and we certainly don't want any more uncertainty. So I would, if Councilmember Solomon is okay with it, to delay it to a later date.
Well, if you as the second remove your second, then it's delayed.
Yep. So that's what I want to ask, so we can make sure we're completely legal on this item and we can
we'll postpone it until we hear from you again. In the meantime, I'll keep tabs with the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, find out if there's any further input on their part, and I've already formulated, I think, some of the things that you mentioned, some unintended consequences that we would want to discuss, but I'll just kind of start my list of our internal analysis.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's good that we've actually had this conversation tonight to talk about, as you say, a myriad of items to help businesses and our residents. So we need to just keep that communication line open. So thank you.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yeah, it's sort of a future agenda item. I think if the predictions are what they say do come true, I was hesitant about having this meeting in person at all. I think we need to think about going forward. We're asking folks to stay home. The governor's asking for people to stay home. Pima County is, and we didn't. We came here, and I get it. We hadn't been had a public meeting in some time, and so I thought, okay, that's fine. But going forward, I would support that we, in fact, do it remotely, assuming that we go the way it sounds like it may go with a number of cases. We did the trial run tonight about what technology works or doesn't, but I just wanted to raise that because I think it might be a good idea for us to do what we're asking folks to do, and I think we can do our business without being directly here. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to, again, express appreciation to the residents of our town who have clearly taken these emergency proclamations, executive orders to heart. We want to thank you for protecting each other, for protecting our community. We applaud you. As the days go on, it will be challenging, but please be committed to staying home, staying healthy, and staying connected. And with that, we'll have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Second.
Okay, second.
Aye.
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 Sorry.
Aye.